Good morning. Today is Monday, April the 3rd. Hey, I just realized today we start our 35th year of Talk Shop.
Congratulations.
Very cool. Okay. I don't know what that means, but hey, cool. Joining us this morning from Eureka Police Department, as you might be able to sense already, it's not Andy Mills.
No.
It's Michelle Ranish Sanchez, who is in charge of dispatch and records. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is this a break or is this more challenging than the other stuff?
I would say it's a little bit more challenging. The other radios and phones are a little bit easier than this.
Yeah, one-way communication is always, isn't it? Oh, let's see if we can find our quote this morning. Ah, this, everybody's heard this one, but nobody knows the source. Bernhard Gunther. It's better to give and receive.
Huh. I guess when you're giving, you're technically receiving if you enjoy giving.
Don't go too deep on it. What is the biggest challenge for folks outside the building to understand about inside dispatch?
I would say the reason... a lot of times when people call in, they're not having the best day of their life. They're going through a very traumatic time or a very frustrating time. And we have a lot of questions that we ask. We have a set of primary questions and secondary questions. And I think a lot of times people just want an officer or a firefighter there now, not understanding that, you know, we have to prioritize. So kind of letting the dispatcher control the conversation is very difficult for people, and then just understanding why we need to know certain things that we need to know.
I would imagine most folks, when they call, are probably trying to get as much information to you as quick as possible.
Yes.
And here, let me just spew it all to you, and you make notes, and then get somebody here rather than the sequential order.
Correct.
That may appear to be random.
Right. I had the pleasure of talking to a community member last week who had called 911, and she just wanted to know why the dispatcher handled, you know, certain things a certain way. And, you know, kind of like you just said, she told us where the person was and all the information she felt we needed. But what she didn't understand was there was also additional questions that we needed to help the dispatchers, help the first responders, also help the community. And so a lot of times it is very difficult to have to ask them, can you repeat that license plate? Because as soon as we pick up the phone, they just start saying numbers and letters. So sometimes there is a little bit of frustration. But a lot
of
times...
Did she use 911 to call to ask the question instead of...
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. Yeah, no, she called the non-emergency line, and I was able to talk to her for a long enough time so that she understood the process and... hopefully was educated so that the next time that she or any of her family members or friends have to call, it'll be a little bit easier for them to understand and get through.
Yeah, if there is.
Yeah, hopefully there won't be. I hope there won't be.
You don't want to become an expert in
you do not.
Making 911
yeah.
calls. You know.
And that's sometimes why it's so difficult, because they're not the expert. What we call people who call in reporting parties. So there is no reporting party school for them to go to know how to call in. That's our job, to control the conversation and help them get where we both need to be.
Somehow party wouldn't leap to the top of my list either.
Yeah, no, we call them RPs, reporting parties.
There you go.
Yeah.
I guess that's better than live bodies.
That's correct.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Michelle Reyna Sanchez, who was in charge of dispatch and records for the Eureka Police Department and more on the dispatch side. Oh, so dispatch, what kind of person does it take to be in dispatch? I mean, if you could close your eyes and develop the perfect model.
Okay.
What are the personalities, what are the characteristics of that individual?
Dispatching is an inherently stressful occupation, so it's somebody that has to be able to deal with stress, somebody who can multitask. Because we can only communicate with our voices, it has to be somebody with good interpersonal skills, good communication skills. It has to be somebody who has a lot of self-discipline, somebody who wants to grow and learn, because our profession changes so often. At the Eureka Police Department, we do all three disciplines. So we do law, fire, and medical. So it has to be somebody who's adaptable to all three, who's able to learn all three disciplines and not just focus on one. They also have to be fun-loving and enjoy a good time, because what we do up there, like I said earlier, people don't call us to say happy Monday. So they have to be able to, I don't know what a good way to say it would be. I guess really truly find the good in life. You know, have a good support system at home and
vent.
You have to vent
for that stuff.
You definitely have to. Yeah.
How do you stay normal?
Oh my goodness. What is normal? I stay normal with exercising, with my family. I'm very close with my family, not only my husband and my daughters, but my extended family, his side of the family, my nieces, my nephews, my sisters and brothers. I'm very involved in that. I also have peer support. I have people who are in law enforcement or firefighting that I'm able to bounce things off of if I have a very difficult call. A lot of times I get calls from them saying, hey, you need to check on your dispatcher. This is what she had. So just sitting down with them.
Oh, they'll follow up on a call
they responded to saying. Yeah, because they'll know I wasn't there at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they'll say, hey, so-and-so had this really difficult call. I think you should check on her. So I stay normal, too, in taking care of the dispatchers and helping them stay normal, too.
So you play mom a little bit.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Taking care of, or mother hen, if you want.
Yeah.
Is that one more comfortable?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't mind being their mom. Yeah, I love them all. Yeah, I'd be their mom any day.
So as they're dealing with the day-to-day in dispatch, since there's such a wide range of what a day can be.
Oh, yeah.
Do you build in things like walk-around time? Are they able to get up and just kind of get physical for about a minute and a half?
To walk to the refrigerator and back.
Or say maybe up and down the stairs or just something so that they can just kind of get a quick little mental vacation.
Yes, that would be very ideal. They can do that on nights after a certain hour. We only have two dispatchers on at all times, so you can imagine one traffic collision on Highway 101 at the Slough Bridge. You're going to have multiple people calling in.
Would be so like if last week?
Yeah. So if I'm there, I will go out and help and relieve them, and that I can help start taking 911 calls so they can focus on getting the officers and the fire department ambulance on the way. But unfortunately, if it's just two dispatchers, I mean, they have to try to fit it in when they can. But because emergencies aren't planned, you know, sometimes you'll hear something come across the radio and you'll book it up the stairs to get back into dispatch. But it would be nice if and we are working towards our staffing levels. We only have two vacant positions. But if we could have three dispatchers on at all times so that somebody could just get up and walk around the building or walk and go get a cup of coffee or tea and come back.
Leave the door open so you can get down the hallway at least.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Let's use that accident list.
Yeah.
Wait. Is Waters going to allow it to be called an accident?
No, he's not. He's not at all.
Okay. So let's talk about the accident then.
Okay.
Something like that that's involving more than one vehicle.
Okay.
Visible.
Yes.
So you see it. And at a time when there's not only visibility, but a lot of people visibly seeing the event. What happens at your end?
So usually it's controlled chaos. This one just happens to be for the fire side, because now remember we're thinking law, fire, and medical. So for the fire side, that fire dispatcher, she's trying to figure out where geography this accident's located, because she also needs to notify, because this one was in the Arcata Auto Aid response area. So she's got to contact CAL FIRE to get Arcata Fire Department responding. She also has to get her Humboldt Bay Fire units and city ambulance on the way. She also has...
And this was because it was in the safety corridor?
That's correct.
You have multiple folks that will
correct.
Reply?
Okay. Yeah. She also has to take all those 911 calls. And then for on the police side, this is the California Highway Patrol's area. So luckily, depending on what other types of calls the police dispatcher has, she'll be able to pick up. She's not having to dispatch her police units out there. That's going to be the California Highway Patrol. But usually it's controlled chaos.
Why not have one large dispatch? I know there's been... It's been talked about for decades. One, everybody shares, everybody's speaking the same language. You have maybe four or five on. Is it the hardware?
I don't think it's hardware. I think that really it's just, I think budget, because I think everybody's on board to do it because it makes sense. It makes sense for the community and the first responders that we serve and work for to do that.
So it's just a matter of the cost to bring everybody together?
That's what I think, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Michelle Reyna Sanchez from Eureka Police Department. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Michelle, half of your title is in dispatch.
Correct.
And half is in records.
Yes.
Now, I would presume a majority of your time isn't spent 50-50.
No.
But let's just, for the discussion part, with the records, I'll ask the same question we had about dispatch. What's the biggest surprise that people have about records?
I think that they just can't come in and request a copy of a report or a traffic collision and get it right then and there.
Because processing time or legal process?
Both. Both. So has the officer completed the report? Is it in the database? Is it ready to be released? And then can it be released?
You mean from the crash to the police station and then to the hospital?
Yeah, right?
I would think it would normally take at least 24 hours just for everything to kind of have a chance to be settled down.
Yeah, I think that it takes a little bit longer than that, depending on what the patrol officer has to handle in his watch that day. If he has, you know, a higher priority. Maybe he's got a felony with injuries that he's got to get that done and completed. And if he made an arrest on it, that's going to be his highest priority.
Oh,
maybe.
So there is a pecking order then with severity?
There is, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
But they still have their policy in which they have to get their reports done by. So they have to wait for that. That's the first step. Is it completed? Is it approved by a supervisor? Has it been archived in the records management system so that we can even actually have access to it to see if the person that's requesting it can actually get a copy?
So if the report is Patrolman Papstein, fear throughout the town, I file it. It has to be proofed?
Has to be approved.
By an upper?
Correct.
And then it gets shot into the system?
It gets approved one more time. So it gets approved by a patrol sergeant, and then it gets approved by the records supervisor. because there's different things that the record supervisor is looking for, not necessarily on a traffic collision, though.
It's not like typos and things like that.
No, not on the record supervisor's part. And then it gets archived into the system.
So what do you look
for? Two levels. I don't look for anything. I know, right? My record supervisor, Amanda O'Neill, she does an excellent job at that. That's her job. She also has...
Or a smart guy. When she's on vacation, what do you look for?
Well, so get this. You'll never believe it, but she's got somebody in secured records. She's actually got two employees that back her up that help her, Christina and Ashley, who help her. Aaron also helps make sure that all the bases are covered. But once it's been... So once... Patrol sergeant says you're good to go. Record says you're good to go. And then it's in the system. So the citizen, now they have to evaluate what's your right to know and your need to know. And is there any safety if we do release this information to you? Or do we need to redact some of the information? Depending on
the black pen?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Simple words, please.
Yeah.
Redact implies that there was dact. Dacting was going on. Whatever that means, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If there was the individual who was harmed, I guess would be the phrase.
Okay.
What would be some examples of information that they couldn't have access to prior to adjudication? That's my fancy word for today.
So, well, depending on the case, I mean, there's a plethora of things, but if it's an open case, we're not going to release it.
At all?
Not until the case is adjudicated.
So even if there was insurance requests?
Through subpoenas.
Okay, so the insurance company could get something.
But we're just talking about the community member coming in. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Coming in and requesting a copy. If there's any fear maybe that there's going to be retaliation, releasing any of the witnesses' home addresses, phone numbers, names, stuff like that, that all has to be considered.
And that's part of the report?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never seen one.
Well, lucky you. That's good.
Okay.
Good for you.
What information is normally included in a report?
Who, what, when, where, why? The officer's narrative, vehicles involved, people's involved, weapons involved, depending on the type of crime, how entry was made.
So
really,
it's
a lot.
Is it a form or is it like a white paper or
no,
a
summary? There's a form, fill in the boxes, fill in the blanks, write your narrative.
So
it's a lot.
So kind of like a directed composition.
Correct. Yeah.
I think most probably took English comp in high school.
I hope so.
I hope. So, and all the details need to be there because they can't be injected later on.
Correct.
How many reports does an average day generate for an officer on the street?
It depends on what the officer watches. If they're working days, swings, or nights, obviously days and swings are going to be a lot busier than nights. It could be anywhere, I would say anywhere from 5 to 15 probably on the busiest day. That's my guesstimation. It's a lot.
For an individual?
For an individual.
I would think that sounds like the paperwork or report generation would be almost as time-consuming as being out on the street.
I would agree.
If done properly.
Correct. Time management. Time management is key.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll...
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Michelle Reyna Sanchez from Eureka Police Department. Michelle, what is a normal, and I know normal is a wide variety, can't say regular, can't say routine, but a report. What What is the poundage? I mean, if we haven't been, if we're not involved in the criminal justice system, we hear about it from the district attorney having reports, and we hear from the attorneys, and we hear from the responders, and we hear all about the reports. But most of us, I would think, probably have never seen a full actual report or case file as it goes through the process. How detailed is it?
The report has to be very detailed. It has to obtain all the information that's needed for the case. So depending on the type of case that you have, you're going to have the officers, you know, their written narrative, all of their information, the who, what, when, where, why. They're going to have any attachments. That could be maybe criminal history, driver's license. If it's, you know, involving firearms or property, you're going to have that form for that. If you have any evidence photos that are going to get booked with it, you're going to have that as well. If you have any blood alcohol readings, anything like that, you're going to have all of that attached.
So it's a pretty hefty
it is.
Document.
Correct.
We don't see that when we're serving on juries. But obviously everybody's got copies, and that's kind of like the Bible for that case?
For that case, that's correct.
What can we do as either folks who are on the receiving end or in the outside observation, if it is that kind of a scenario, to do to help out? What makes it easier or better?
So let's just take the basic property crime. Don't be an easy victim. Don't be an easy target. When you leave stuff in your vehicles, you leave your windows open in your house and you leave your laptop or your jewelry case right by the window, that makes you an easy target. So don't do that. Don't leave your purses in your cars. If you have to, hide it, put it in your trunk. But make your car look pretty boring on the inside. At minimum, even if they just break in to get the change out of your change jar, you're now down the money that it takes to go replace your window or the damage that they created. So don't make yourself be an easy target. And then if you just do have the unfortunate, you find yourself in an unfortunate situation and you've done everything you can to protect yourself, but someone still breaks into your house or your vehicle, anything that's serialized or of value to you, if you can have those serial numbers written down or your driver's license number etched on the piece of property, take pictures of them, not only for us to help return the stolen property to you and to locate it and to get it into the correct databases, but also for your homeowner's insurance to turn that into them. So if you can take pictures, put it in a safe. I don't know how pictures do in a refrigerator or freezer for too long, but have that document, that documentation to help you with us and then also with your homeowners.
I would think maybe a flash stick with a bunch of pictures.
There you go.
More specific.
At a different location or something. Yeah. In case your house burns down. You always have to be thinking worst case scenario.
Yeah, the plan B is now, I guess, kind of basic.
Yeah.
CDE.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, that's why you're the pro. That's why you're wearing blue today.
I am wearing blue today.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Say hi to whoever, back at the shop.
I will.
All right.
Invite me back. I liked it.
See everybody tomorrow.